Let's get into the Word. I was meditating on a lot of things that we've seen here throughout the time that we've been praying on Sunday nights, and just asking the Lord to show me once again, Lord, what is it that you have for us? And I began to see sort of a threat binding many things together. And that threat, not only was it prayer, but it was how prayer made simple, how prayer, Pastor Jessica had shared that, and how us coming to God in a certain way, Dr. Becker shared. And every time we've come on a Sunday night, we've gotten something about prayer in our spirit, but a lot of times we don't process what we're receiving. And that's so crucial for us to do that. That we process what we receive. Let me pray real quick. Father God, I just ask right now in Jesus' name that you would prepare our hearts, Father God, and our minds to receive the Word, Father God, and to revive that Word that's already in us and make it alive tonight in this very place. In Jesus' name, Lord. And I remember, I think maybe 2 years ago for Daughters or a GNO, they brought Grace Cho is the wife of and one of the pastors of the largest church in the world, close to 700,000 members. And I remember Pastor Zerba tells the story a lot better than I do with her accent too, trying to imitate her accent. But here's a woman that birthed the most enormous church in the world through prayer. And she gets up here and everybody's ready to get this amazing revelation. And the lady says with her Korean accent, "Open your mouth and pray." The message was done. Open your mouth and pray. That was it. I mean, there was nothing. 4 points, 5 points, 7 revelations, 2 dimensions. There was none of that. I mean, she just brought it down to a simple term. You open your mouth and you pray. And when we get an understanding about prayer, about our connection with God in a particular way that brings out what's already in us, makes a big difference. It's not just praying from what we gather, but praying through the Word of God, praying through what the Lord has already given us. And I want to take you to a verse that's very, very popular, very, very famous in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll start there. And it's very famous. As soon as I start reading it, you would know what we're talking about. But a lot of people stop there. I want to continue on all the way to verse 9. Let's begin in verse 6. It says the following in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember, Pastor Jim had taught us what through Christ Jesus means. We have to do it through Christ to get to that place. Now remember also we learned that there was no verses and no chapters when this was written. So the Apostle Paul continues on with the same idea. He hasn't dismissed prayer yet. He goes on verse 8. I don't have it here for you, but I'll read it for you. Finally, brethren, whatever things, and keep that word in mind, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. He goes on defining these words. Verse 9, he goes on to say in the following. Again, the word, the things with you, and then he names it. The things that you learn and receive and heard and saw in me. These what? Oh, all right. And the God of peace will be with you. Let's stick around for a moment. The Apostle Paul has just laid out an agenda of what he's saying. Listen, you've already learned, you've already received, you've already heard, you've already, you saw already. Now these things, what?
Do.
Do. And when you do, what's God going to do? He's going to get involved. And when you do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now many people miss out on God's involvement because they don't do. They don't do. And do is so crucial for our walk with God. And we need to understand the Apostle Paul is breaking it down for us. So let's go little by little. The first thing he says, the things. What things? What things? The things. Romans. I'll read it for you. Pop it on the over. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says the following. For whatever... Should have been highlighted. I didn't. It was my bad. I turned it in late for them. For whatever things were written before were written for our what? Things. In Mark, 11:24. Pastor Zerba taught today in the Spanish service. Absolutely an amazing, amazing message in faith based on that chapter. But it also says there, Mark 11:24, whatever things you ask for. What things? I mean, things you've learned, things that were written, whatever things you ask for. So there's a theme in the Bible right now that we're looking at, that those things have to come to pass. Those things have to come from somebody because we have to ask for them. Are you with me? For whatever things. Let's go back to Philippians 4:9. The Apostle Paul describes what those things somewhat were. Are those things? He said, whatever things, or the things which you learn and receive. What's the difference? That learn, not only do you sit down there and you hear people share about the Word of God, you also have to receive the Word of God. Are you with me? Because I can hear something and reject it. But he's saying, whatever things you've learned and received. I mean, he's breaking it down for us. Whatever things you've learned, or the things which you have learned and received and heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then he adds something else, the things you saw in me. And that's so crucial because we've all been part of that. I was sharing with pastors earlier in prayer before we came out here. We usually pray. And my mother's an amazing woman of prayer. I remember when I was in my rebellious stage around 14, 15 years of age, I've always been in church. So at some point you kind of get, you know, tired of the routine of the church. Never, never hating church. I never did. May not like some people in the church, but I was never against the church. I've always loved the church. My best friends came out of that. My transformation in my life came out of being in church. I've always had tremendous respect for the church. Always. Always. Never, never, even as a young punk, never, ever even crossed my mind to disrespect the church. I just have a love for the church. And I remember just being there and being frustrated in my walk with God. And I would get up to go to the bathroom, whatever, 4 or 5 a.m., and I will always see my mother on her knees praying. And that was so odd to me. I'm thinking, lady, you should be in bed. You're going to be tired. What's going on? And she would always pray. Why are you praying to this God? I had a confusing relationship with God. But can you believe something? Never forgot. That image was so engraved in my head that my mother would invest time when her son was being a punk to pray. 5 a.m. every morning, I would get up, and there she was on her knees. I was telling Pastor Deborah, she didn't know much about faith, but boy, she could pray. And she was always praying and always believing God. And the Apostle Paul is saying, you guys have seen that. We've seen it here. How many of you guys have come to several Sunday nights? How many? Okay, we've already seen prayer. Are you with me? So the Apostle Paul is saying, you've learned it, you've received it, you've heard it, you've seen it. Now you what? You do it. Now you do it. And when you do it, then it says, the God of peace will be with you. And we're asking the God of peace to be in our midst. We're asking the God of peace to come and intervene on our necessity. Are you with me? We're asking the God of peace to come and bring a peace that surpasses all understanding, which is what the Apostle Paul says a few verses before. He's saying, and the peace of God. But now he's saying, flipping around, saying, and the God of peace. One thing is an element of God in your life. One thing is the God that produces the element is now involved in your life. Two complete different things. So the Apostle Paul is saying, God is going to get involved in your life. But we have to do. And I'll conclude with this. My son has a book of Christian songs. And so you push a button and the words are next to the button. When you open the page, there's a button, has the melody, and you sing the words. Where we come to a song that I don't know. And I said, well, sounds beautiful. Dad, sing it. You know, he was really little then. He was probably 2 years old or something. Dad, sing it. I said, I don't know it. And you don't want to hear me sing. But I called his mom. I said, hey, honey, come here. And so she sang this one particular song. But before I tell you what song it was, the man who wrote it is a man named Joseph Escriven. And Joseph Escriven is a man, he's Irish. And this man was a good Christian man, went to Bible school, graduated from Bible school, was ready to get married with his fiance, and she died. She drowned the night before they were to be married. In absolute pain, he was 25 years old. He packs his bags and moved to Canada. When he gets to Canada, he follows the Word of God. He's teaching the Word of God, falls in love once again, and that fiance dies of pneumonia. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to get married. I'm just going to serve God. So he decides out of his own will to serve God. His mother hasn't seen his son in many years. She's really, really ill, really old, in her 80s. And he writes this amazing letter to her that now has become a hymn. I'll read it to you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And it goes on and on and on. It's four different verses that it has. But this man, out of his own pain, writes an amazing letter to encourage his mother, saying, Mother, what a friend I have in Jesus. I love two fiancés. I haven't found love on earth, yet I found God on earth. I found a love that I don't understand. And we carry this sin in our heart all because we decide not to pray. And then it says, what a peace we have to forfeit. If you understand the word, if you've been in sport, forfeit means you gave up before you even play the game. And he's saying you don't have peace because you don't even try to play the game. How often we just forfeit the peace that God offers, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And tonight, I want us to bring everything to God in prayer. Everything that's in your heart, everything that you have, everything that you brought tonight. Do not leave this place without peace. He's saying, don't forfeit that peace that you can receive, that the God of peace may come and act on your behalf and give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Tonight, do not walk out of this place without receiving that. Are you ready to receive it? Amen. Amen.